2 Corinthians 5:17 is a verse that I would like for us to look at. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
So this verse became very special to me. March 26, 1995 is when I got saved. I was 31 years old. I'd gone to church occasionally, Easter, Christmas,
yeah,
kind of that kind of thing. And so my friend who I worked on the highway patrol with in North Carolina invited me to a service, and I got saved on March 26, 1995.
Amen.
Thankfully, my friend encouraged me to get involved, start coming to church.
Yeah.
You know, just having a little bit of Bible knowledge. I mean, very little, just to start going to church. And so I said, well, I'm going to start going. And so it wasn't long I heard about people talking about a life verse. And I'm like, I didn't know what a life verse was. But I hear people talking about something. I'm supposed to have one, Brother Shepherd. Everybody's got a life verse. Well, anyway, somebody gave me, just trying to help me along. I think the church at that time had a devotional book, and they gave it to me. And I started looking, and I started seeing the theme. You know, you have your title of your devotion, then you have like a verse, then you have a little devotional. And I said, well, man, I'm going to look at what the devotional was for the day I got saved. And I looked at it, and the title of it was Life-Changing Grace. And then I saw the verse. It's this verse. And I didn't know much about the Bible at the time, but I thought, you know what? God is telling me, Lee, there's some things you're not going to do anymore.
That's right. Amen.
And there's some things you're going to start doing.
Yep.
And I couldn't, you know, take that verse apart. And I'm sure, even now, 28 years later, I could not articulate or pull the riches out of that verse that God has in there. I think God has got so much more that I just have not searched out and discovered. But this verse became my life verse. So I want to look at the proposition. Often when we see therefore in the Bible, as we see here in this verse, therefore, you ask yourself, and you've heard this, what is therefore, therefore? And of course, you look into the context of the verse, and it tells you what Paul is talking about. All believers have died with Christ, and it talks about this new thing. So we no longer live for ourselves, this verse is indicating. Therefore, if, that little two-letter word, if, it has so much meaning, if. It implies that when certain conditions are met, certain things are going to happen.
Right.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ. So, when we read this passage, we see this talks about any man. Now, our world likes to talk about tolerance. Our world likes to preach that and say we need to be But I don't think they know how tolerant our God is. And let me explain by saying that what I mean by our God being tolerant. Any man.
Yeah.
And I read that and I'm thinking, okay, now I'm not, I try to say, are they talking about like men, just males, or are they talking about girls, female, lady? Well, I did a little study and the verse is any man, any woman, any boy, any girl.
That's right.
If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl be in Christ, he's a new creation, the Bible says. So, you know, in our world today, there's requirements. Certain things have requirements. The Marine Corps has requirements. I mean, we can't just up in the day and go join the Marine Corps. You can go down to the recruiter's office, but they're going to have some requirements that you have to meet. Like you have to be 17 years old. You have to have a proof of legal residency. You have to have passed a physical exam. You have to have a high school diploma, and you have to attend boot camp in either Parris Island, which is in South Carolina, or San Diego, which is in California. And by the way, I don't know if anybody's here from California, but the San Diego Marines, we call them Hollywood Marines.
Yeah.
That's what they're called. I don't know if there are any Hollywood Marines in here, but that's what we call them, Hollywood Marines. And so anyway, there's some requirements. You know, if you attend the University of Kentucky, there's some requirements.
Right.
If you attend the University of Tennessee, there are some requirements.
Right.
If you get on a roller coaster at Dollywood, there's some requirements.
Yep.
But the only requirement here is if any man will be in Christ.
Amen. Praise God.
That's the only requirement.
Amen.
Be in Christ.
Amen.
To be in Christ means that a person has come to that place in their life where they decide, you know what, I can't do this. This is not about me doing things. This is about what Christ has done.
Amen.
And me putting my faith, my trust, my belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ.
Amen.
And being in Christ means that when God looks at Lee Johnston. He does not see Lee Johnston. He sees his son.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, the Bible says. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
But when we come to Christ as a sinner, our sins are forgiven. And the Bible says that we are made righteous in Him.
Right.
2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. Who is He? Jesus. That who knew no sin, Christ was sinless, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
There is no way that you, me, or anybody else can go before God, a holy God, on our own.
You're right.
There's no way.
Nope.
But when we're in Christ, we can. The Bible says that we were the enemies of God, as a matter of fact. From Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So there are several places in Scripture the Bible talks about being in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So let me give you some of the many other benefits of being in Christ. The Bible says, I'm a saint. 1 Corinthians 1:2, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, I am seated with Him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, I have complete forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:7. Charles Ryrie, a theologian I've read some about doing some study, probably the most important doctrinal fact underpinning the spiritual life is the believer's union with Christ. It is foundational to the truth of co-crucifixion of the Christian with Christ. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him.
Amen.
That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Paul tells us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life which I now live is in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So it's not the believer who lives, but it is Christ who lives in the believer.
Right.
Romans chapter 6, verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that the form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And Ryrie concludes by saying, remember that freedom in Christ is not the right to do as one pleases, but the power to please God by doing what is right.
Amen.
8 billion people in the world today, I'm told. And there's only two groups. Those in Christ, those not in Christ.
That's right.
8 billion people boils down to two groups. In Christ, not in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. The Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The rest of that verse. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we see the proposition. Let's look at the promise. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This means that the person is a new creation. We don't need to understand this creature is a new creation created by God. But as many as received him, John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this creation was brought about by the will of God. God did not just remake us. God did not just get rid of the bad and keep the good. God did not just do a remodeling job. We did not remake ourselves. We did not just turn over a new leaf. We did not decide on some resolutions to be a better person. No, God has remade us. God has created us, what the Bible says, ex nihilo, out of nothing.
Right.
That's mind-blowing to think about.
Yes, sir.
When you think about what that means, God has created us out of nothing. I've always admired guys who can build things. I had a friend that I was in the Marine Corps with. He could take a piece of steel and make him a knife that looked like big enough to kill a rhinoceros. He could do that by hand. He was that gifted. I had a friend on the Highway Patrol who could build his own canoe, built his own, he remodeled a Jeep. He built his own house. And as talented as those men are, and they are talented, and maybe some of you are like that, you can't create out of nothing.
That's right.
Only God can create out of nothing. And that's what God did when he made a new creature in Christ. God creates out of nothing. He does not upgrade. He does not remodel. He creates out of nothing. And how does he do it? I can't really explain that. It's miraculous.
Yes, sir.
I know we talk about and we read about miracles in the Bible, but every time somebody gets saved, that's a miracle.
Yes, sir.
I know I didn't understand that when I got saved at 31 years old, but it is a miracle.
Yes, sir.
An absolute miracle. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know, Nicodemus was thinking that Jesus was talking about a physical birth when Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth.
Right.
So we see the proposition, we see the promise, and finally we will see the process. Old things are passed away. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what are some of those old things passed away? Well, our old nature becomes new.
Yes,
I'm talking about that old sin nature that we inherited from Adam. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man, this is referring to Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Charles Spurgeon said this, as the salt flavors every drop in the Atlantic, so does sin affect every atom of our nature. It is so sadly there, so abundantly there, that if you cannot detect it, you are deceived. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Right.
That sin nature that dominates us. It's that dominating sin nature that when we have a choice to do what God wants and what we want, we so often choose what we want, that sinful nature. Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus is the only one who never had a sin nature. Perfectly sinless.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Christ knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15 says that Christ was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Yes,
1 John 3:5 says, and in him, Christ is no sin. It's because of the sinlessness of Christ that he was able to be our substitute.
That's right.
The sinlessness of Christ. Now, we don't lose our sin nature when we get saved. Our sin nature remains in us. As long as we live. And Paul talks about this struggle, and I don't know if you can relate to it, but I can relate to it. When Paul tells us in Romans 7, verse 15, For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So this battle is a daily battle we all fight if we're saved. It's a battle. It's a battle. We know it's a battle. But that old man, our old nature, the Bible says, was crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So when a person is saved, born again, puts their faith in Christ, washed in the blood, however you want to say that that person is in Christ, that old nature is put to death.
Amen.
And we are given a new nature.
Amen.
In verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of those things, old things that's passed away is the old nature. One of the things that become new is the new nature. Paul puts it this way, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man,
amen,
which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And yes, it's corrupt. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we put off the old and we put on the new. Not only does our old nature become new, our desires become new.
Right.
Our desires become new. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore.
Amen.
The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change
Amen.
Since I've been born again.
Amen.
When someone becomes a new creature in Christ, they don't say, I've got to go to church. They say, I get to go to church. When someone becomes a new creature in Christ, they don't say, I got to read my Bible. They say, I get to read my Bible. When someone says, man, it becomes a new creature in Christ, man, I got to give. No, I get to give.
Amen.
There's a change. When Jesus moves in, there's going to be a difference.
Amen.
It's miraculous.
Amen.
Unexplainable.
That's right.
Truly a miracle. Remember in Mark 5 when Jesus talked to the demoniac and he was so strong, he just broke the chains, cut himself with stones, and man, no man could tame him, the Bible says. And yet when he met Jesus, he was never the same. When he met Jesus, he wanted to be around God. God's people want to be around God.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, if you don't want to be around God and God's people, something's wrong.
Right.
Something's wrong. I don't know what that could be. It's a multitude of things, but man, when God's people don't want to be around God and His Word and preaching and just want God's people, something's wrong, man. And I don't know what that is, but I guarantee you do. I think people do know.
Amen.
People do know. Remember Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9? On his way to Damascus, there were more people in jail. He meets the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 4, and he fell through the earth, this is Saul, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Amen.
And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And straightway, the Bible says, he preached Christ. This man that was going to kill Christians, throw them in jail, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. When Jesus moves in, there's going to be some things that are different in a person's life. And we see that. Stories told of a young woman, she'd accepted Christ as her Savior. She wanted to join a church. And she came forward at the end of the service to join the church. And she talked to the assistant pastor. And she told the pastor that she wanted to join the church. And he asked, well, were you a sinner before you received Christ? And she said, yes. And he said, well, are you still a sinner? And she says, well, the fact is, I feel like I'm more of a sinner now since I've received Christ than before. And the assistant pastor said, well, how has Christ changed your life? And she said, well, I put it this way. Well, before I was running to sin, now I'm running away from sin.
Amen. Good.
What makes that happen?
Yes, sir.
Where sin that you loved, you don't love it anymore.
Right.
Matter of fact, you hate it.
Yes, sir.
Our old nature becomes new. Our old desires become new. Our old destination becomes new.
Amen.
I read a study, Pew Research. 72% of Americans believe in heaven. 58% of Americans believe in hell. This same study now looked at self-identified Christians. Of that group that self-identified as Christians now, 85% believed in heaven. 70% believed in hell. So I can't imagine somebody identifying a Christian and say they don't believe in heaven or hell. I don't know. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. So the Bible talks about both places. Romans 20 verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, Jesus, as you know this, spent more time warning people about hell than he did talking about heaven. Hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels.
Right.
The Bible says
right.
It's a real literal place.
Yes.
Matthew 25, verse 41, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus spoke of hell. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and which them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13. In Luke 16, we know the passage. Jesus talks about heaven and hell, both real places, literal places. I'm talking about Lazarus and the rich man. And if a man is in Christ, his eternal home is in heaven.
Yes.
How do we know? Well, we look at the Bible.
Amen.
How do we know? How do you know heaven and hell are real? Well, let's read the Bible.
Yeah.
That's where we find out what's
right.
The Bible.
Right.
The Bible. That's where we get it from. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Jesus himself says that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. People talk about the Bible, the King James Version, being hard to understand. I don't think so.
No, sir.
God can open up that vision, your spiritual eyes, man. You can understand that. Now, you still have to study.
Sure.
God tells us that too, right? We still got to study. But I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, you're going to look at things differently.
Amen.
And it's not because, hey, can I got saved? Can I tell you something? And I'm not going to tell you some things because it's embarrassing, quite frankly. But I used to drink alcohol, but man, that was the first thing on I say list. You know, and the pastor didn't tell me, Lee,
right.
You got to stop drinking. You know, my friend didn't tell me, stop drinking.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
When he moved in, said, Lee, you're not doing that anymore.
Right.
The Holy Spirit of God will do that.
Right. Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we see the proposition. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, we see the promise. He is a new creature.
Yes.
We see the process. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We'll close with this. This story is told of an alcoholic man who got saved. And, of course, he had his friends, his bar buddies he hung with, and they were teasing him, giving him a hard time. And so they were saying, you'll be back, you'll be back. And then, you know, 1 month went by, 6 months went by, a year went by. He hadn't returned to the bar. About a year later, his friends saw him out in town, and they started asking him, do you believe the part of the Bible where Jesus turned water into wine? And the alcoholic man said, the former alcoholic said, yes, I do, but Jesus did more than that for me. As a matter of fact, he turned my beer into a bedroom furniture. He turned my whiskey into a washing machine. He turned my house into a home, and you can ask my wife and kids.
Amen.
We talk about
yeah.
the things going on in America. And we do. And the horrific things we're seeing. We're living in it.
Yes.
But every one of us that are saved have a responsibility, a commission from God. It's to tell people, it don't have to be that way.
Right.
You don't have to live like you're living. One day you're going to stand before a holy God.
Yes, sir.
Are you in Christ or you're not in Christ? If you're not in Christ, you're going to hell.
Right.
And I know that can sound somewhat harsh in our modern society, but if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them?
Right.
We wonder why things going on the way they're going on, and we're like, well, these people are lost. What do you expect? What do we expect? Nobody's sharing the gospel with them.
Right.
They're not saved, so they live like lost people. That's what lost people do.
Right.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this passage. God, it means so much to me, God, and just thankful for it. I pray you'll help each one of us in this room, God, that are saved. Lord, we talk about making resolutions and setting goals. I pray one thing that will be on our heart, God, will be to share the gospel with lost people. Lord, we all have lost people in our life. There's no doubt about it. We may even talk to some of them today. God, may you give us boldness and may you give us compassion
yes.
to reach out and share the gospel. We ask these things in Christ's name. We pray. Amen.